So thank you, Polly, for the introduction. My interests are in colorectal cancer screening and cancer epidemiology, and what I'll be presenting on today was data from my master's project. Can everyone hear okay? I have no disclosures or no conflicts to disclose, and although the program that I evaluated for my master's project was funded by the Virginia Department of Health and the Cancer Action Coalition of Virginia, this current project was not funded. So some background, as we've already heard some today, colorectal cancer is the third most common cancer in the United States. It's also the second leading cause of cancer death for men and women. However, screening can reduce the colorectal cancer mortality by up to 33% through early detection and removal of polyps. Therefore, there are national screening guidelines recommended for men and women who are 50 to 75 years of age and at average risk for colorectal cancer. And those include an annual fecal occult blood test, a flexible sigmoidoscopy every 5 years, or a colonoscopy every 10 years. So although these recommendations are in place, screening uptake remains less than ideal for men and women who are 50 years and older. And in fact, in 2010, around 65% of the age-eligible population was adherent, and that's less than the Healthy People 2020 goal of around 71%. So for the last 30 years or so, research has really tried to focus on the barriers to colorectal cancer screening and also the predictors to try and find ways to increase screening adherence. However, less is known about how confusion might act as a barrier to colorectal cancer screening, and it makes sense that confusion might be playing a role here, since not only are people making the decision to get screened or not, but also by what modality, since there are three options. And also, confusion is a little bit tricky because not only does it have an effect, but it has an affect or an emotional component that can remain even after information has been given. So there's been very few studies that have looked at confusion and colorectal cancer screening. One study by LaFada and colleagues actually looked at how many screening tests were offered during a patient and physician discussion, and they found that patients offered a choice of screening modalities were actually less likely to be screened. However, they just looked at the options that were offered and didn't measure confusion. And today, only one study has actually measured confusion and looked at its association with colorectal cancer screening adherence. And that was by Jones and colleague, who found that patients who said that they were confused were 1.8 times more likely to be non-adherent to colorectal cancer screening guidelines compared to people who are not confused. So that is the only evidence we have so far directly measuring confusion and relating to colorectal cancer screening. So that leads us to the colon cancer free zone. So the colon cancer free zone is an educational program developed by the American Cancer Society, and it involves three educational sessions around colorectal cancer screening and then some primary prevention through exercise and diet. And in the spring of 2011, the Cancer Action Coalition of Virginia and the Virginia Department of Health implemented the colon cancer free zone at a work site in southeastern Virginia. So this project came from a post-hoc evaluation of that educational program. And the purpose of this analysis was to look at the association between colorectal cancer screening confusion and colorectal cancer screening adherence among the age-eligible employees who worked at the worksite in southeastern Virginia. And we hypothesized that endorsement of confusion items as well as increasing total confusion would result in reduced screening adherence. So the evaluation consisted of a cross-sectional self-administered questionnaire. It was administered to all 393 employees at the work site. Our overall response rate for the all respondents was 49%. This analysis was only done amongst age-eligible respondents, and one age-eligible respondent did not answer the screening questions, which brought our total sample down to 88. The training center employees facilitate skills development for mentally and developmentally disabled residents. And this study was approved by both the Virginia Commonwealth University and Virginia Department of Health IRBs. So the questionnaire was a 4-page questionnaire. It was developed using previously validated measures or adapted from previously validated measures. It took between 9 and 11 minutes to complete, and each employee who returned a questionnaire was entered into a raffle to receive one of 6 incentives, each valued at $50. So listed on the slide are the 5 confusion items that we measured in the questionnaire, and they were: some screening tests are so similar that it is hard to know whether they are the same or not. There are so many screening tests to choose from that I sometimes feel confused. The screening tests often have so many features that a comparison of different tests is barely possible. When thinking about colorectal cancer screening tests, I rarely feel adequately informed. And when thinking about different screening tests, I feel unsure as to the features that are particularly important to me. So each of these five questions was rated on a 5-point Likert type scale of strongly agree to strongly disagree. And we coded people as confused if they strongly agreed or agreed with any of the measures. We also calculated a total confusion endorsement score by adding how many, just summing the number of times the respondent strongly agreed or agreed to each measure. So that ranged from 0 to 5. For analysis, we calculated descriptive characteristics for our overall sample and also by adherence status. We looked for effect modification with age, gender, race, or education and the association between confusion and colorectal cancer screening and did not find any significant interactions. So we did a multivariate logistic regression to look at each of our individual confusion items as well as our total confusion endorsement score with screening adherence. And we adjusted each for model-specific confounders of age, gender, race, or education. This table shows our descriptive characteristics of our respondents. So among all the age-eligible respondents, our average age was about 57 years. Just over a quarter were male, 44% of the age-eligible respondents were white, and overall 77% were adherent to current screening guidelines. Among the adherent respondents, the current age was a little bit older at 58. Just over a quarter, again, were male, and about 50% were white. But then for the non-adherent respondents, the mean age was a bit younger at 53. The proportion of males was about 20%, and in this case, the proportion of white non-adherent respondents was only 25%. This table shows our confusion items and their paraphrase from the previous slide and also our mean total confusion endorsement score for all of our respondents. So in general, a larger proportion of non-adherent respondents strongly agreed or agreed to each of our confusion measures. And in all but one case, that was a statistically significant difference. So for total confusion endorsement, the mean for our age-eligible respondents was about 1. It was at 0.7 for our adherent respondents and up to 2 for our non-adherent respondents. So the next two slides show our multivariate analyses. The three showed here were the three models that were significant as their confidence interval does not include one. And we can see that for each of these confusion items, people who strongly agreed or agreed were between 80 and 85% less likely to be adherent compared to those who did not strongly agree or agree. This slide shows the two models that were not statistically significant since their confidence interval does include one. However, the point estimate is still in the same direction as our three significant models. For the total confusion endorsement score, after adjusting for age and race, we found that with each increase in total number of confusion items endorsed, there was a 46% reduction in the odds of being adherent to national screening guidelines. So, for example, if someone strongly agreed or agreed to two confusion items, they were 46% less likely to be adherent to screening recommendations compared to someone who only agreed or strongly agreed with one confusion endorsement item. So we found that people who participated in this educational program about colorectal cancer screening still had confusion even after the program had completed. And in general, our confused respondents were less likely to be adherent to screening recommendations. And one of our models that was statistically significant was that people felt uninformed. So this might mean that providing information alone, like we said, might still lead to confusion and reduce your screening adherence. One of the other significant confusion items was having difficulty comparing the different tests. So we feel that maybe in the future people need more assistance directly comparing the two different tests. We do have some limitations to consider. Our data was a cross-sectional study, so we don't have the temporality of the association between confusion and screening adherence. All of the data were self-reported, and colorectal cancer screening history could be subject to recall bias. However, we did use NCI-validated measures to measure screening history. There could be selection bias since the employees who chose to participate and respond could be different than those who did not. And generalizability is a concern since we did have a small sample and the employees at the worksite probably are not representative of the larger age-eligible group. So to conclude, We feel that although our sample was small, we think that we have shed some light on the association between colorectal cancer screening confusion and adherence, and future interventions to consider the role of confusion in their future work. We need to remember that confusion is more than just knowledge transfer, and there also has an emotional component that needs to be addressed. So, shared decision making could be considered as a way to address all of these concerns. So shared decision making is a process where a person who's facing a medical decision, especially a medical decision where there's multiple options, works with a trained professional to decide which test is best for them by directly comparing the tests and figuring out which one best matches their preferences and values. So for our three models that were significant of not feeling informed, feeling confused, and having difficulty comparing, shared decision making would adequately address all three of these concerns. So we would like to acknowledge the Southeastern Virginia Training Center and the Cancer Action Coalition of Virginia for their help with distributing the questionnaires and providing the incentives. We would also like to thank two particular people from the Cancer Action Coalition of Virginia in particular, and that's Kathy Rocco at the Virginia Department of Health and Christy Sheffield at the University of Virginia. Thank you.